Today's program was brought to you by Fairway Market, like no other market, a New York City institution that sells the best local, national, and international artisan foods for prices that can't be beat. For more information, visit fairwaymarket.com.
I'm Greg Blaze, host of Cutting the Curd. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, and welcome to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jolie Kerr, a cleaning expert, advice columnist, and author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag, and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. My weekly column, Ask a Clean Person, appears on Deadspin.com, and my guest today is Freddie Hernandez. Hi, Freddie.
Hello, hello.
I am so excited to have you here. I have really been waiting all, I don't know if you know this, I have been waiting all season for you to arrive in the studio.
Okay, no pressure.
Yeah, no pressure, no pressure. And here's why. Freddie is a writer for Jalopnik.com. He writes about buying and selling cool cars on the internet under the pen name Tavarish. If you're a regular reader of Jalopnik, you're going to be like, oh, that guy has a full name.
Oh, yeah.
He owns the world's cheapest Mercedes S-Class, a graffiti-bombed Lexus. I'm sorry you didn't drive that one today.
No.
I would have liked to have seen it. And he's the only Jalopnik author that has never driven a Miata.
Yeah, that's kind of a big thing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, the Miata is a big Jalopnik thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe if we have time, I'm going to have you explain why. And the reason that I'm so excited to have you here today is that today you are going to help me out with some reader questions about car interior messes.
I'll do my best.
I get a lot of those questions. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoy getting them. I think that they're always interesting because the stories that go along with them are generally pretty horrifying. And I like and I like horror stories, right? Because
everybody likes horror stories.
Yeah. They're great for me as a writer mm-hmm. because it means that the story behind why someone is asking how to get, you know, a cloth seat cleaned
right.
is really interesting, right? Mm-hmm. It's not so interesting to say like, how do you clean a cloth seat mm-hmm. in a car?
How did you get to that point?
when you got to the point that the seat needs to be cleaned, it becomes interesting and funny. So the other reason that I was so excited to have you come here today is that it gave me a chance to use a question that I couldn't use in my column. And here's the reason that I couldn't use it in my column.
Okay.
I had already written about someone having a melted butter disaster on a car seat.
Okay.
And
so the butter is melted. Do you know if it's a cloth or leather seat?
I think in both instances it's cloth seats. And I'm going to read the question that I couldn't use in the column, but I'm going to preface this by saying that this is a weird thing that happens in my job where you get a question that you think like, oh man, like this could only happen once.
Mm-hmm.
No one else is ever going to have this problem.
You'd be surprised.
And then like 2 years later, someone is like, I found you by Googling melted butter on car seat because they had the same problem.
So it turns out this happens all the time.
So yeah, apparently melted butter in cars is a big thing. And I'm going to read this reader question. I'm going to warn the listeners. We're going to take you on a little bit of a journey today because this question is on the long side. I did edit it down, believe it or not, when you hear how long it is. But the story behind it is so interesting and it takes some twists and turns. And I'm going to have Freddie help me out and hopefully help this reader out. But let me back up and tell you about this original car butter question, because it also has to do with my kind of my introduction to Jalopnik.
Mm-hmm.
I had been vaguely aware of Jalopnik. I've been lurking, floating around the Gawker media sphere for a number of years now, almost, I think, since the beginning. I was a commenter. I then went on to write for former Gawker editors, mm-hmm. which is how I really got my start in doing
this. I think
that's
how we all got our start.
Sort of the nature of the Gawker Media world. And then eventually I ended up writing for Gawker Media, for Jezebel, and for Deadspin. Now I'm fully mm-hmm. with Deadspin. And when I first moved the column Ask a Clean Person over to Gawker Media, where it was running on both Jezebel and Deadspin, the second column I ever wrote for Deadspin was a story about a guy who was tailgating with pals, and he had a tub, like a styrofoam lidded tub of melted butter that I think he was using for like wings or something.
Okay.
And he sealed the tub up. They packed up their tailgate to go into the whatever football game it was. Mm-hmm. And when he came back out to the, you know, close the car up, and when he came back out to the car, he opened the car door, like barely touched the container of butter to move it off the car seat. And that one touch caused this butter that had heated up in the car to explode and like shoot the lid off. And the butter exploded all over the interior of the car.
Does
hot melted butter will do that.
It will expand to that degree that it just explodes out of the...
It was out, like he was at a football game. This was hours that he was gone. Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe his friends did something. There's a little... Probably some shenanigans going on.
Tampering.
Yeah.
Well, in any event, the result was that this poor man's car was terribly buttered.
Okay.
So I wrote...
terribly buttered.
Terribly buttered.
Sounds like a coffee table book about restaurant mishaps.
That should be my next book. Or maybe we should collaborate on car mishap books.
Sure.
That would actually be great.
Sure.
I bet there would be a huge audience for that. So I wrote this post, and I, you know, sort of went through like all of my suggestions, and the post was then shared over onto Jalopnik, and which is great because we, you know, all of us at Gawker Media really like it when our posts are shared to the other sites because it means we get more readers.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, we just sometimes it's not so great depending on which site it's shared to, because the commentariat it varies quite greatly, which leads me to this my introduction to Jalopnik. I was aware of Jalopnik. I didn't really read it. You know, it's the car site of Gawker Media. Not really my bag. I don't even know how to drive a car. So
really?
I've talked to your boss about this. He's aware that there are non-drivers who maybe would like to put themselves up to learn on camera. And
here's a little secret about Jalopnik. There's maybe I can count on one hand how many people actually own cars that ride for Jalopnik.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise because it's New York.
Yeah,
exactly. So that actually doesn't surprise me all that much. Sorry, you thought you were going to get me on that one.
Oh no. I'm pretty sure this is common knowledge to us. But for people that are listening and maybe you know subscribe to Jalopnik, we don't really own cars. I mean, I own a lot of cars.
Yeah. But you also don't live in the city.
Yeah,
you
I don't live in the Jersey. City. I live in New Jersey, yeah.
So, okay. So here's what happens when this post is cross-posted over onto Jalopnik. All of these Jalopnik readers come in, and you guys have great readers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't realize that. I think I maybe would have thought your readers would be a little, like, scary or something. No, they were not. They were, like, super helpful. And they were saying things that because I'm not a car cleaning expert, wouldn't have known. But these were people who were like detailers. Like this is their work is to detail cars. And so they came in and they were saying things like, well, you're going to have to remove the seat from the car and then you have to get a shop vac. And like, and I think like Simple Green came into it.
Yes.
It was amazing. And I loved it. Mm-hmm. I really was just very excited that I felt like I tapped into this community of people who were very weird and obsessive about one topic and could probably help me do my job better.
Yeah.
So I have always had like just a huge amount of love for Jalopnik because of that first experience way back in April. I looked up the post. It was April of 2013.
Okay.
So yeah, this is a long time ago now. And that was the OG butter on the car seat question. Which
OG
leads
butter.
Which leads us very nicely into question one from reader KL.
Okay.
I have to clear my throat because this is a long one. This is the journey we're going to go on. KL writes to me, I found your previous posting while Googling butter stains on car seats. Your previous butter stain in the car sufferer doesn't realize how lucky they had it. Just one stick? How about an entire pound?
Let me tell you a story.
my readers do get very storytelling-ish.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they like to spin a yarn for me, which is great. Okay, so here is the beginning of poor KL's yarn. I went grocery shopping and errand running on a cloudy, rainy day. Among my purchases was 1 pound of butter. I stashed it on the truck seat, carefully shaded it from the sun while I did the rest of my errands. I live in a rural area, and it's an hour round trip to the stores. By the time I got home that evening and carried all the groceries to the house, I was tired and could only think about having dinner and going to bed. We had what's been a rare occurrence lately, 2 consecutive sunny days. I had left the truck parked in the sun. 3 days later, I went out to the truck to do a quick errand. I smelled melted butter. I knew immediately what I'd done. But believe it or not, readers, the story actually gets worse.
Okay.
Yeah. like way worse. Brace yourself. So she continues. The entire pound of butter had melted and soaked into the seat over the course of 3 days. There was little trace of it on the fabric seat cover. I thought it must have run off the seat to the floor of the truck. So I emptied a year's worth of miscellaneous junk from the truck and got out the detergent and a scraper in a bowl, thinking I'd be able to scrape up what had re-solidified on the floor.
Ooh.
Wrong.
There
was no trace of butter on the floor.
Freddie,
the sound effects are great.
Boy.
All of it had soaked into the foam seat under the seat cover. I did everything I could think of to try to get the butter to soak up. I'd found all the same suggestions you made. I called friends, a car wash, the dealership, etc. No one had ideas I hadn't tried. So I put a clean bath towel over the stain and figured if I weighted it down, it was my only hope. The next day when I went out, there were mouse droppings all over the truck. Lots of them. There had clearly been a mouse party in the truck cab.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm dealing with the rodents moving in. I fear my truck seat is going to be destroyed by rodents going after the butter-soaked foam rubber seat.
Yeah.
Help! 4 exclamation points.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Now. Poor reader Kale. I mean...
Wow.
Yeah. So you can see why I was excited for you to come today so that I could share that story.
I think that's a little worse than a melted crayon that a kid leaves behind.
Yeah.
Okay. So the first thing that you want to do in a situation like this is call a priest. Because this is beyond saving. When rodents get into your car, it's going to be very hard to get them out unless you start taking everything off.
Okay.
So the first thing that she needs to do is she needs to take off that rear seat. And the bottom usually comes out if it's a usual 4-door car. It comes out. There's like clips or something. You don't need any tools. It usually just comes out. You can pop it right out. If the butter has soaked into the foam and the mice have started eating it, that's a problem that you can only remedy by just getting a new seat. And honestly, just with the time and money involved to clean something like this, like you'd need a deep clean. You'd probably be, it would be best to just buy a new seat. You can buy one like on eBay or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how much do they usually, so this is a truck seat, right? So
yeah.
I'm assuming it's one of those probably bench seats?
Yeah, like a bench seat. Again, they make.
I know it's like such a wide.
Yeah. If it's like a pickup truck or an SUV, they make a million of those things. So
Okay. You
can just find one on eBay, find one in the right color. Probably shouldn't be more than $100.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's not so bad.
Yeah. What's concerning is mouse droppings. Okay. Because
I would concur.
Yeah. I bought a car once. I bought a Lexus, and I bought it for $400 from the shop that was gonna just junk it. And I bought it when I was 18, so I was like, hey, it's a car for $400, and blah blah blah.
Is this a graffiti Lexus?
Yes. This,
okay.
this is a graffiti Lexus that I'm actually going to junk now because. I have a little more sense than I did when I was 18.
Okay.
Well, when I first got the car, there was a kind of epic amount of mouse droppings in the car.
Oh,
and
wow.
And these mice had gone through the wiring because that's what they love to do. They love to chew on wires.
That's so weird.
Yeah, yeah. So they love to chew on wires. They love to rip up carpets. And it breeds disease. So I had to take off everything, including the dashboard, like basically take everything apart just to make sure that there's no like dead mice behind there.
Right.
Or they create nests in the vents.
Right.
And, yeah. If it's just something like some mice got in and they smelled butter, so they wanted to investigate, I would just replace the seat, give everything underneath the seat a nice, get like some Simple Green and dilute it like 3-to-1 with water.
Uh-huh.
And just scrub everything down just so you don't
just
get...
Just so there's no butter residue hanging.
Well, no. Butter's not... I'm not concerned about butter because butter kind of... It probably smells decent, you know?
Yeah.
but mouse crap is...
That can...
I mean, if you have kids back there or something.
I was thinking get rid of the butter so that the smell wouldn't be enticing.
Well, this...
Continually enticing to more.
Yeah, I mean, if you're
mouse
getting
parties.
If you're getting mice, mice tend to go where it's dry and warm. I don't know what the climate is like for. So that might not be. I mean, the butter might entice them, but if there's mouse in the area, I'd probably just deal with that as its own separate problem. But as far as the butter, it's not too concerning. Just get a new seat.
Okay.
You'll be like, you can probably vacuum it out if you have like a deep cleaner, like a, I have a little thing called, it's called a Little Green Machine. It's by Bissell. It has this, heated spray, and then it's like a vacuum as well. So it's kind of like a carpet shampooer.
Yeah. It's like a handheld vacuum equivalent.
Yeah.
Of a rug doctor.
Exactly.
Right.
It's exactly like a rug doctor. And it's about $100. I bought mine at a thrift store for like $20.
Right.
And it's really good at carpets and stuff. It might be able to do foam, but foam that thick as far as like a seat, I don't know if it can do that.
Right. If it's going to be able to have the suction power to pull out from the
then again, I don't know
center
how,
of the foam.
Yeah. I don't know how far the butter has receded into the foam, but again,
I don't think there's any way to know that.
Yeah.
I think she should just get a new seat.
You'll save a ton of time and money and worry and you know, rats won't go after.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, I'm sorry that the answer wasn't like, oh, just like bleach it.
Yeah.
I appreciate, I mean, I was saying as we were preparing for the show, I was saying to Freddie, like every once in a while, there is a question that comes in to me and the answer is just no, there isn't anything to be done about it. And every once in a while, I'll run one of those just to say like, look, my thing is that I'm going to level with you. And if there isn't a solution, I'm going to tell you there's no solution to this.
Right.
So
when you have it just depends on how good the base of whatever it is you're cleaning. So if you're if you're detailing a car, If the car needs paint work, there's really not an amount of detailing that can get that to a proper shine.
Right, you just got to fix the paint. Exactly.
Yeah. So if it has like really thin paint and like you're not going to be able to polish that. There's just nothing that you can do.
Yeah.
You have to repaint.
You have to do a repair. Exactly. Right. There's a difference between cleaning and repair. So listen, this is a good time for us to take a quick break. We are going to come back in just a minute with another reader question. This one, I believe there will be a solution to it.
Okay.
We're going to talk about smells in cars. We will be back in just a minute. I'm Jolie Kerr. This is Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Hi, I'm Harold McGee. HeritageRadioNetwork.org is a nonprofit organization, which means they depend on the support of listeners like you and like me. The best way you can support this program and others like it is to visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org, as I have, and click the donate button to become a member today, as I have. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
Hi, I'm Steve Jenkins from Fairway Markets. I've devoted my idiot career to the old ways, the old recipes, the old tools, the old geography of where serious foods come from for centuries. And I've strived to make these wonderful things available to New Yorkers for 37 years. So it's a fait accompli for us to support Heritage Radio Network. And I hope you will too, and I hope you'll keep tuning in. For more information, please visit fairwaymarket.com.
Welcome back to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. I'm Jolie Kerr. My guest today is Jalopnik's Freddie Hernandez, and we've been talking about car interior disasters.
Oh, yeah.
We're moving on to another one. So I had, Freddie, I had a hard time picking questions today because there were so many really good ones, and I wanted to ask all of them of you.
Okay.
So we can just
do them rapid fire. It's fine. yes, no, yes, yes, no.
Yeah. I want the excuse to have you come back for another show.
Okay. Right.
And actually, even more so, I want the excuse to go to your boss and be like, hey, you should give me and Freddie a podcast on Jalopnik.
Sure.
Yeah. Talking car messes. We would have fun, right? Tons of car messes. Like, and look, Car Talk is off the air now. RIP Car Talk. I have to tell you, I grew up, mm-hmm. I'm from Boston.
Yeah.
And I grew up listening to Car Talk religiously. And I always tell people that Ask a Clean Person is most informed, influence-wise, by Car Talk.
Yeah.
That I consider myself kind of the Car Talk of cleaning.
Okay.
Right. That's like, you're going to get the story. Mm-hmm. You're going to, you know, you get the human interest. You're going to get some humor.
Sure.
You're going to get some help. No one's going to be mean. No one's going to make fun of you.
I could be mean.
You're not going to, I'm not going to let you be mean. You're going to be nice. We're all going to be nice around here, but you're going to have fun. But we're going to have
sure.
fun.
Yes.
So that ethos of Car Talk is very much, what informs Ask a Clean Person. So I have to tell you, so the one question I did really want to get to, we'll do it in a future episode, is I get a lot of questions about puke in cars. Like,
okay.
It runs the gamut from, you know, baby puke, toddler puke. I get a lot of those. Deadspin readers are, as I discovered earlier in my season, I had someone from Gawker Media who knows the sales data on all the sites and was like, Deadspin's the oldest site. Your readers are all old. And I was like, oh, that
demographic wise.
Yeah. I was like, oh, that explains why I get so many dad questions about my kid barfed in my car, you know? So I get those questions. I get a lot of those. Mm-hmm. And then I get the drunken vomit, you know, I was driving my drunk friend home and she puked or he puked and blah, blah, blah. So lots of them. And then like the ones that are the most interesting to me are the ones where like the puke goes places that are not super accessible. I'm going to save what those places are for when I have you come back. So it was hard to leave those ones behind, but I did in favor of the question that I'm about to ask, in part because it picks up a tiny bit on a post that you wrote yesterday that was so funny that you recently bought a used car.
Yes.
And the previous owner had left some four CDs in the sixth CD changer.
Yes, yes.
And so Freddie reviewed them.
Yeah, so these CDs are, I had Eagles, Hell Freezes Over. I had a burned Creed CD.
Yeah, that was
like a Creed mixtape that somebody made. The Doors, Soft Parade. And
Tony Braxton,
ultimate Tony. How can I forget?
Okay, so here's the thing. So I see this post. I follow Jalopnik on Twitter, so I see it, and I know it's Freddie because it's about buying a used car. So I know who's written it. I click through, and the Tony Braxton thing had this line about her sounding like she had just stepped on a Lego.
Seriously,
and you don't know this, but one of the previous episodes that I did was about parenting messes, and I pulled the dads of Deadspin.
Yeah,
and the universally, the one thing they wanted me to address was like the pain of stepping on a Lego.
Oh, it sucks.
So this has been like the summer of stepping on Legos for me, and I was so excited when I saw it. So anyway, it was a great funny little post about, you know, sort of found objects in used cars. And so that leads us right into question two from reader Bob.
That's his screen name or just his actual name?
His name is Bob.
Okay.
Yeah. So people email me their questions.
Okay.
So I see their names. I don't ever publish names in the column for not even first names or anything. On the podcast, I'll use first names, or if it's something that's kind of really unusual, I may like change it. But yeah, Bob is generic.
It's weird because we had a Kinja commenter, and his Kinja handle was Dave. It's like, all right.
Hey, Dave.
Sure.
His name is probably like Jeremy.
Right. And I just said that he got in on the ground floor.
Yeah. You know, Good for him.
The first Dave.
Okay. So here's the question from reader Bob. My father-in-law recently passed away. Condolences to Bob. And one of the items that my wife got after his death is his 2000 Lexus RX 300 SUV.
That's not bad.
Since, yeah, that's a fairly nice car, right? Mm-hmm. Since we both have newer vehicles in better condition, we're planning on selling it. But in its current condition, I don't think that anyone will ever want to buy it. Maybe you'll buy it, Freddie. Here's why, Bob says. My father-in-law was a borderline hoarder. Mm. I emptied 2 40-gallon trash bags of various garbage out of the car, including a complete newspaper, unread, from 2008, unopened mail postmarked 2007 to 2010, approximately 20 large styrofoam cups, countless empty cigarette packs, and old lottery tickets. After emptying all the trash, I took the SUV down to the local car wash for a wash and vacuum. And while I was able to get rid of the loose tobacco leaves, dog hair from his dog that died 6 years ago.
The dog wasn't still in there,
and,
right?
Yeah, I certainly hope not.
It's just in one of the bags.
And cigarette ash. My God, so much ash. Mm-hmm. The car still stinks of cigarettes.
Right.
After getting it home, I went back through it with window cleaner and Armor All. Mm. The window cleaner wiped off yellow from all the nicotine stains.
Yeah.
And the Armor All helped a little bit on the leather and trim, but it's still pretty bad. Mm-hmm. Currently, it's sitting in my garage, windows down so it can air out. How can I make this thing not stink before we sell it?
Okay. Well, before I start with that, this would be the perfect control for secondhand smoke. You know, if you want to have a study, it's like just put somebody in that car and then just study them for a few months. But what you can do, because I had a car that was seriously smoked in. When somebody's a chain smoker, ash goes everywhere, and it's not just in the carpet and you know where they put their hands. It gets underneath like the center console, because mm-hmm. when they put their hand down, you know, that ash is going to rain down, and then it's going to get between the center console and the carpet. Their best bet is to take apart everything, and if they can't do it themselves, obviously they have to, you know, call a professional. But stuff like, you know, taking out the seats and doing like a deep clean of the carpet. Usually cigarette ash, it doesn't, you know, go into the foam or anything. It's just going to be on the outside. What's most
would the foam though retain the smell of the smoke?
Usually not. If you can do stuff like Febreze and odor neutralizers.
Okay, don't use Febreze. I hate Febreze.
Not Febreze, but just like
white vinegar.
Yeah. Yeah. Vinegar, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So
use an odor neutralizer, not an odor masker.
If you want, you can put a bowl of lemons in the back seat.
Right.
And
anything acidic.
Yeah. Like baking soda, you can rub that in. Yep. Just like baking soda, a little like dollop of water, and then just kind of agitate that with like a soft nylon brush. Mm-hmm. What I'm most concerned about are the AC vents.
Okay, I was going to say.
Because that
is. When you talked about the ash flying everywhere, I was like, oh, is it getting in the vents?
It definitely does. Oh. And it creates like a little film. What you can do, other than taking apart the entire dash, is.
Which, I mean, that could be fun too.
Not fun.
No.
probably not. No. But what you can do is near, like, it's usually by the driver's right foot or the passenger's left foot. There's a there's an intake for the AC system. Like, that's where it brings in the air. Now, you can just put an odor neutralizer in there and just spray it. And with the AC on recirculating.
Okay.
So it doesn't pull in.
Now, here's a question for you. There's a company, it's a fairly small company called InnoFresh, and they make products that are odor neutralizing products out of activated charcoal.
Right, yes.
And they found me years ago, mm-hmm. and they've just been like really supportive of me. They offer my readers a 20% discount. Like, I get nothing out. This isn't a business relationship that I have with them. It's just like, they're good products.
You probably should have a business relationship.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, that, you know, they're good products and I recommend them. Yeah. And, you know, I've used them myself, and they really do work. And so this company was nice enough to offer my readers and listeners a 20% discount code, mm-hmm. Which is, all one word, Jolly Clean Person.
Jolly Clean Person.
Yeah. Jolly Clean Person. Okay. Or maybe it's two words, Jolly, and then new word, Clean Person.
Try them both.
Try them both, yeah. I'll link to it when I do the write-up of this post. So anyway, they make odor car odor neutralizers.
Right.
In that space, would you be able to put one of those bricks?
Yes.
It's maybe like 3 or 4 inches by 1 inch. It's a rectangle.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, more modern cars, like I have a Mercedes, and that has...
Fancy.
It's old.
It's not.
It is old. But it has a charcoal element filter.
Okay.
And that yeah, it definitely does help with with odor. So you could put it by the intake. But what I would do is I would actually put it on the floor, like just in random places, and just see what works best.
Okay.
That works, but stuff like door panels, especially a driver's side door panel, because the person, you know, who's driving is going to be smoking.
Right.
I would probably take that off. There's probably ash in there, so there's, you know, smoke and smell. Just clean that right up with, you know, whatever degreaser you have, mm-hmm. or something that'll take off, you know, the bacteria layer.
Right.
Do that. I would do a carpet clean with the little green machine.
Yep.
And then... just tackle the vents, because I think that's the most pressing
issue.
That's
what's holding in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And after that, I mean, it's just maintaining it. I don't think, again, cigarette smoke is bad, but it's not horrible. You know, I remember Mythbusters did some episode where they left like a rotting pig inside a car, just to see, you know, like for a month. And then like their entire film crew couldn't get in there because of the smell.
It was just so bad.
Yeah, they're just making everybody yak. So they, that's the worst, you know. The
right.
Cigarette smoke, not too bad. You can take care of
it. Okay, so that's good news. The good news is there's hope for Reader Bob.
Oh yeah,
there's
Bob should be fine. Bob,
there's not so much hope for Reader KL. She's got to go get a new car seat.
Well, but, I mean, that's hope, and
but that's hope
as well. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It's a solution to a problem that's easily remedied.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and not terribly terribly expensive. I mean, $100 isn't that bad.
It might be less. I don't know.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to find out. I'll have to follow up with Reader KL and
sure.
See what she
if she told me what kind of truck it was, I'd be able to give
you
her
you could
like,
probably
a
go find yeah
yeah yeah.
Probably go find it. So this has been great. Unfortunately, we are just about out of time.
But we just started.
We did just start. This goes by so fast.
Yeah, it does.
It really does. I'm thinking I might need to extend it to 45 minutes in my next season. And during my next season, when I have you back, and we're going to talk about puke.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to talk definitely about puke.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, lots of puke. And also maybe lemon meringue.
Okay.
Because I sent you a question about a lemon meringue.
Yes.
That wasn't fully set up and mm-hmm. attacked some poor woman's cloth. It's always the cloth car seats too.
Yeah.
Like
get the leather. You know, just splurge a little bit at the time of purchase.
It's always the cloth car seats, guys. So yeah, we are definitely going to have you back. In the meantime, a big thank you to my guest today, Freddie Hernandez
thank
of
you
Jalopnik.
Very much.
Also, a big thank you to my engineer Liz Smith and to our sponsor Fairway. Today's break music was by Mama Rotzi. And the theme song was provided by Rec Tech. If you like what you heard today, and why wouldn't you? That was so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
Please consider subscribing on iTunes and leaving a rating. And also, please tell your friends about my weird and great little cleaning show that you enjoy so much. Who would have thought you would have been so entertained by cleaning? I will catch you next week when my guest will be Kristen Appenbrink of The Kitchen. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Jolie Kerr. This has been Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. Stay tuned now for a clip from Danny Bowen of Mission Chinese Food. I love Mission Chinese Food. Talking about the intersection of food and family on Eat Your Words. Another great show found right here on the Heritage Radio Network.
You know, we weren't the most well-off family growing up, so we always ate at home. We didn't go out to restaurants that often.
Acclaimed chef Danny Bowen of Mission Chinese has fond memories of food and family.
And my mom cooked, you know, like breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and yeah. I was just so fascinated. I'd always stand in the kitchen and cook with my mom, which is, it was amazing. You know, it was like really cool. It was a good time that we always spend that time together. And I think that's what really inspired me to want to cook. And it was cool because for that, you know, hour that we ate every night, you know, the whole family was there. And my dad was there and he worked. So I got to see him and talk to him. So it was cool. I always thought that like cooking and bringing people together, being able to hang out with your friends or your family is really important. I think that was one of the major reasons that I wanted to cook. I didn't know that once I started cooking, I would never see my family or friends because I'd be cooking all the time. But, but you know, it's you see them when they come into the restaurant.
You're fostering friendship and family for other people,
right,
I guess.
Right,
good times.
Yeah.
This was an excerpt of episode 100 of Eat Your Words, hosted by Kathy Irway. All episodes available on heritageradionetwork.org and iTunes. This piece was brought to you by escapemaker.com. Visit a farm, escape through the net, escapemaker.com.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.